Maybe you've already answered this. Looking back in your life, one or two things that you're the most proud of, and there's a lot that you could be proud of. What are they?
Oh, my kids, my family, my sisters. Terry sends out about 28 checks every month to not just family, but friends.
That's great.
That I support.
Well, you've had a very generous heart. I don't know that you had a model to follow on that, but you just naturally came by it.
Yeah, it just, you're successful and you got a few bucks in your pocket and somebody needs it. Then, yeah. The one or two things I'm most proud of is my kids. I really believe, and they tell people this, my best achievements in life has been a father. Maybe that's because I didn't spend all the time needed to be a husband. Because I've been married maybe 20% of my adult life. So my kids, I got three great kids. The other is being able to do something at this school. I'll kind of break that down in two things. Building a school like that for middle-income kids, because that's who goes to private schools. There was no fuzzy feeling for that one bit. Why should I take what I've earned and build a facility for kids that come from some pretty up-to-do families? And to me, middle income is rich. But in the very beginning, I knew that, and I told Dr. Shaw, we need to do something here to afford this great facility to families in this community that can't afford it. Now, Owas is a middle-income town, they say. I don't think it is. But Collinsville and Skytook and over around Claremore, no. These are poor communities. And there's kids from families that can't afford to go there. They can't pay the $7,000-$8,000 a year in tuition for high school. My boys went to school at Owas. It was good for public school, and I know all of them over there. Nothing like Rejoice. Our teaching level is unbelievable. Our AC tests are off the chart. They have Bible class every day. And, you know, I'm not pushing Christianity on anybody. In fact, only 60% of our kids go to that church. We've got kids from all religions over, some from none. It's just a school. It's a disciplined school. And here's what I like to say, because I'm now paying scholarships for about 11 different schools throughout Oklahoma. Jason, who runs Shangri-La, he's got a general manager over there, so he manages my foundation. He will indefinitely. And we got a lady that works here that came from Make-A-Wish. She was over there for multiple years. She knows about the charity world. We now are paying scholarships. I think we've qualified 11 schools. But my next really exciting thing is Crossover, which is just started in North Tulsa.
Crossover.
It just started. They're a Christian group, but they're not involved in a church because I don't do the church and school involvements anymore. Crossover is four or five people that's got 27 kids. And they're all black kids. They got a couple of sports teams, but it's a private school. They pay no tuition. They're doing all this with charity, and I'm supporting that school. Now, I'm not ever going to build an entire campus. 4 years ago, I thought I was going to build seven or eight of them. But I have matched dollar for dollar at Crossover. I think we've got a good team over there. Now, the chances of this failing are huge. Chances of success is way down there. But I've spent some time over there. These kids have got no opportunity, none.
Are they white and black?
We got one white student.
One white student, but they're all black.
And 26 black kids.
Yeah.
Next year, we want to take these kids to the eighth grade, bring in about that many more for 27th. Mm-hmm. Then the next year, and I asked for this, we need girls. Girls in a black community have a better chance of getting out of there and succeeding than the boys. They're both there, they're both in the neighborhood, but here's what they consider an opportunity is the gangs. The gangs are drawing the boys. The girls, bad stuff too, but nothing like that. Chicago, all these people killing one another. They're not killing girls. They're killing boys. So I told them, I said, you know, we're missing the boat here. We need to be just as aggressive bringing girls in here. I lived at 56 Peoria when I was 19 years old working for my uncle. And that whole community has changed. It's dead. They have no opportunity whatsoever. Even if they finish high school, where are they going? There's no jobs. Now, Kaiser bought a bunch of land, going to try to put together a...
Talking about George Kaiser?
Yeah, yeah. He and I are friends.
Have you worked together on projects?
A little bit.
Brought him up because...
Because he bought, 120 acres over here, about 56th Street North in Peoria, and he's putting in an industrial park. The city and the state are involved. In Maristar, I built a lot of plants. Right now, there's opportunity to go over and have land free, have all the infrastructure already put in. If I build a plant to hire people, you'll generally bring people in from that community. You know, I want to tell you, and I'm ashamed of it, my place was Pine and Mingo. So we had a few people in North Tulsa apply for jobs. I'll go back to the 80s and 90s. I'll tell you, my people wasn't aggressive in hiring those people. It wasn't no direction for me, but it was just human nature of the way people are in this country of rejecting some people. And I corrected that about 15 years ago. But anyway, it just ticks me off. But my foundation, Crossover over there, if we could change some things, unbelievable. But a lot of the other schools we're going to in Tulsa and Oklahoma City and different ones.
I think about this kid with $10, basically didn't get out of high school. They told him to sit in this room for 3 days.
To get my diploma.
To get your diploma.
I've never had it.
Which you didn't get. And now you are able to come back and do what you're doing. It's got to make you feel really, really good. How would you like to be remembered when you're gone?
Oh, I don't know. I really have no idea. My kids, and now my grandkids, I got 4 grandkids, they're taken care of. I've had a trust ever since 1986 when the FDIC was trying to take all my money. My kids are okay. Now, they're not getting no hundreds of millions of dollars, nothing like that. But what I'm leaving the foundation, which if I live long enough, it's going to be $1 billion.
Yeah.
That will provide scholarships for these kids. I go back to Chicago. The Chicago was so dead gum poor, and you got to have and the have-nots, and it's just the way it was, but it was like that all over the country. And the teachers as well, they didn't treat you as well as Joe there. His dad owns Bynum's Grocery. Just like in football, I started at right guard as a sophomore, and I whipped about anybody on the line. That was only 125 pounds. But my junior year, we went through 4 weeks of practice before get into the game part of the season. And a kid by the name of Charles Coons. And I whipped him every day in practice. I could whip him on the line. He was a little bigger than me, but he got the starting job come Friday night. His dad owned a little hotel, plus an accounting business. And I got to play, but didn't get to start. That Monday morning, my senior year, I turned in my pads. So is there things during your life that you never forget? Yeah, there was. But what that allowed me to do, football's in the fall time of the year. Back in poor Chicago, one of the ways that I made money was picking up pecans. And you usually got to walk a mile or two out of town, get in one of those creek areas. And there's pecan trees everywhere. Me and a couple of buddies would climb those trees and shake them like crazy, get down, pick up 50 pounds of pecans, and go sell them for 20 cents a pound. We'd do that on Saturday. That's $10. So getting out of football, I got to make a little bit more money. And Wellesley Bynum, I was back down working for him after school instead of going to football practice. But one thing that I'll be proud of is this foundation because it's set.
Yep.
It's all there, and Jason, he'll hand it off to somebody else, and the way I've set it up, it could go on for 100 years. My direction is there's so much difference in an education versus a Christian education. Kids don't get the parenting at home like, you know, my mom was very poor, but she always had time. So,
what advice do you give to young people? Maybe they want to get into business or just... plain living in this world. What advice would you give them?
Education. Education. You know, of course, you can go into work hard and be honest. That's what I used to put on all the birthday cards I'd send kids. Work hard, be honest, and everything will be just fine.
Yeah.
But education, I never get into any advice as far as politics or anything like that. That's to each their own. But that's it, John.
Well, I want to thank you for telling this story, this great story, from rags to riches is what it is, and only in America could it happen. And it fortunately happened in Oklahoma, right here in Owosso in this area, because they're benefactors. So thank you for sharing the story.
Thank you for letting me talk to you. I seen that list over there. My goodness.
You're talking about the list of people that
people
we've interviewed.
People that you have interviewed.
Yeah. Well, we want young people to listen to the stories of very successful people. And yours is, like so many others, just hard work. Hard work. Be creative. Be invested in your work. And enjoy it. I ask people, what do you tell these young people? Find something they're going to be happy with. If you enjoy doing it, it won't be work.
Yeah, that's what I tell my daughter. I've told her for a long time, well, you need to know what you're going to major in by your junior year. Started this year, she said, Dad, I'm kind of getting stressed. I said, what about? She said, well, you always told me I need to know what I'm going to do in life before my junior year. And she said, I got no idea. I said, then forget I ever told you that. I said, doesn't matter if you go off and enroll in whatever university and you have no idea then what you want to do. Go to school for a year or two and then you'll figure it out.
Good advice.
Yeah, so.
All right. Thank you, Eddie.
Are we done here?
Yep.
Well, I'll be doggone. That was painless. You know, I haven't thought about this. And then I looked at my calendar yesterday on my phone. I said, my God, John Erling's coming tomorrow. And I thought, what do I need to do to prepare?
You lived then, your life.
And then I just forgot about it. And this morning I came in and I just thought, well, we'll just shoot from the hip and take it from there.
Exactly. And that's the way we did. And you did a great job of it. Thank you.